rapper, but I thought that song was good for this morning. Well, okay, I guess I'll have to do it again. Oh, I can't get it again. I hit the wrong button twice. All right, so who on Christmas Day, who has ham on Christmas Day? You get Bradley's ham. You guys have ham? Ham? Who has turkey? Okay, we have turkey and ham. Does anyone have goose? No? No goose? Venison? No? Okay, so New Year's Day, what's one of the traditions for New Year's Day that you eat? Pork and sauerkraut. I don't know the whole thing on the sauerkraut thing. Then it's like the trick to get you sick all year, right? Sauerkraut. But see, pork. So the ham, I was kind of wondering, like, and we always have it. And now I do like sauerkraut, kind of mix it with my potatoes and with a lot of butter. And then it doesn't taste as bad. I guess it's good for your guts. But anyhow, you have ham. Do you know why the tradition of ham they have for New Year's Day? It's supposed to be good luck, right? Ham. Do you know why? Okay, well, I found this out. Ham. Ham they eat on the first day of the year to bring good luck because it's moving forward. Because like if you eat chicken scratch backwards. Okay, deer, they claw backwards. Cows, they claw backwards with their hooves. Okay, but a pig uses their snout. And do you ever see a pig do this? And they go forward. So they use their forward moving snout. And they, have you ever seen like where a bunch of boar are, they just dig stuff up and they use their nose and they just bore the way through and they dig everything up. So when you're eating when you're a pig tomorrow on this coming year, what we have, you can think about the pig moving forward. So that's why traditionally they went with ham. That's what they, so they use their snout to push forward. So we're not getting into the new year yet because we're finishing the old year, but what do you get when you play tug of war with a pig? Pulled pork. Okay. What do you call a pig that does karate? Pork chop. Okay, you get pork chop. And then what do you get when you cross a pig and a Christmas tree? You get a porcupine. Okay, porcupine, right. That's it. And then I had to throw this last one in because the New Year's coming. Where can you find comedians at a New Year's Eve party? They're waiting in the punch line. Okay. All right. Settle down that last one. Right. So this morning, we're just kind of ending the year. We've been going through Acts. We're going to be in Acts 18 today. That's where we're at. And then starting in January, want to kind of go over some new vision, kind of set some stuff that I've been thinking about, kind of refocus on some things and kind of go over like a vision for the church. So, and then kind of what we're thinking. So we'll jump back and forth from Acts. What we hit today, the message today on Acts 18, it's called Afraid, Speaking, and Silent. That's the topic today. Afraid, Speaking, and Silent. And we're hitting Acts chapter 18. As we've been going through Acts, we know Paul now has been traveling around. And that's where we left off with, Paul was leaving Athens, and that's where he was just coming off of Athens. So that's where we left Paul. So we'll be jumping in that this morning. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for just today. Lord, speak to us this morning. Help us not just look at your word as old words in a book. Help us to know that this is your word and what we can get out of it in today, in our society today. Help us to be, just take what you have in your word and apply it to our life, and that we can be a light and truth and a love to other people around us through your word, Lord. So speak to us this morning and speak to us on how you want us to move forward with your word and your purpose for us. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, Acts 18. I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. We're going to be jumping around a little bit here because there's a lot of stuff, but we're going to focus in on 18. So chapter 18, Acts 18. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. Because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome, Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them, okay, which we know he did. Then every Sabbath, he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade the Jews and the Greeks. So once again, Paul goes, and every Sabbath, where does he go? He goes to the synagogue, and he's presenting the gospel again. We've seen this over and over with Paul, right? Verse 5. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. But when the Jews opposed Paul and became abusive, imagine that, because we saw that they've been abusive to the poor guy the whole time, right? But this is, not to go off track. But when the Jews opposed Paul and they became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your heads. I am clear of my responsibility." And he said, "From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." And he kind of throws back. He's sick of his nation. He's sick of his brothers and sisters, like his countrymen. Because Paul is what? Was Paul a Gentile? No, Paul was Jewish, right? And he says, "I am sick of you. Like, I've been coming to the synagogue. I've been preaching about the Messiah. I've proven it out of scripture, out of the prophecy and what scripture says of who the Messiah will be. And I've been saying that over and over and over again in the synagogues as he travels." So, which we know that, which I found this kind of interesting. So today, here's Paul, a Jewish guy, and he's being critical of who? He's being critical of his own people, the Jewish people, right? He was speaking the truth to these people in the synagogue because they were Pharisees and Sadducees, and they didn't want to believe Jesus was the Messiah, and they were blind, and their hearts were hardened. But yet he still says, "Guys, you know, I'm leaving you. Forget it. I'm not liable anymore for you as people." Today's society, and this is what I kind of find right now, not to throw out, but our current culture. Do you think Paul was anti-Semitic? No. Because why? He was Jewish, right? But yet he's voicing his opinion saying, "Guys, you're wrong. And now you're coming out and trying to continue to harass me and abuse me and beat me and try to kill me." So I just kind of look at our society today. And what I see some stuff taking place just in society. If you bring up anything that's critical of a Jewish person, now all of a sudden you're anti-Semitic. But that's not the case. Paul here was Jewish. And Paul was calling out to them of an error in their way, right? We as Christians, as Gentiles, as Jews, and even Palestinians that love the Lord, you heard my story have said on that, where when we were in Israel, a Palestinian man was a shopkeeper in his shop. Sorry, I shouldn't be going down this rabbit trail, but I'm going. In his shop, and he worked right across the little alleyway from Jewish people, and he's Palestinian. And I said to him, how does this work? And because I found out he was a believer. He trusted Christ as his Savior. He loved the Lord. And he said, Jeff, wait, I don't know if he called me Jeff, but this is what he said to me. He said, you know what? I hated Jewish people for the longest time. I hated them. I was trained to hate them, and we just wanted to kill me. He said, then I got to know Jesus. He said, now I love them. I love the Jewish people because my Savior came through the Jewish people. And he loves, but it came down to the fact that the love of Christ changes people, right? This guy was a Palestinian who loved Jewish people. Jewish people who loved the Messiah, they loved people as well. It's this hate concept that takes place with this deception of hate and pulling people apart. Paul was saying to his Jewish brothers and sisters, because they did not see who the Messiah was, saying, you guys have a problem. And he said, your blood is on your hand, right? So, not to get all that way, but in society today, we see it. You see it when people step out and say something that they see wrong, spiritually and or morally within a people, and all of a sudden they're saying, well, you, oh my goodness, we have to cancel you now. So now, like, people are canceling each other because they're bringing up some truth. So, just a thought there. Anyway, what I want to get to is verse 9. This is where the message really kicks off. We stopped in 6:7. Then Paul left the synagogue because he was mad, right? He was frustrated with these people. He's mad. Then Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the home of Titus Justus, a worshiper of God, Crispus, the synagogue ruler. And his entire household believed in the Lord. And many of the Corinthians who heard him believed and were baptized. Okay, so Paul, even though he's frustrated, he goes next door and people are getting saved out of his frustration, which is something that we all need to learn, right? Is when we get frustrated, we get mad, we still have our Christian duty, our responsibility to keep promoting and pushing the gospel. Now we get to verse 9. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you because I have many people in this city. The message topic today, afraid, speaking, and silent. Those things is what God told Paul. Let's read that again. Do not be afraid, God tells Paul. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. Okay. That's a directive that came from God to Paul. And when I'm looking at that, I'm thinking about that. What do we do with that? Okay, because we can go through the historical records and I can go through and talk about all the places and people and all that stuff. Scripture is meant for us today, right? We see the history and the same principles that God had for Paul, he also has for us. Do not be afraid, he says. Do not stop speaking and do not be silent. Jeff, that's what God's telling me. That's what I read from Scripture. If I hold the Scripture as God's word, he's telling me the same thing. Jeff, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. When we're afraid, the definition of afraid. What was that? John is out there playing his video game. But God says, do not be afraid. He says, just afraid, the definition is worrying about something that's undesirable will occur. That's the worry. The worry is that something is undesirable is going to occur. So it's this unwillingness out of fear to do something because you're afraid. This unwillingness spirit happens to us. Can happen to Paul, right? Because God saw Paul's frustration. God, when Paul left the Jews, he said, you can see here's frustration. He said, your blood is on your hands. I am sick of you people. I've been coming to the synagogue. I've been telling about the Messiah. I'm mad. I'm frustrated. And I don't want anything to do with you. I'm going to the dirty old Gentiles. Praise the Lord that he did, right? And he went to the Gentiles. And so this frustration has taken place. And God knows the frustration that's taken place in Paul. And he says to Paul in this vision, into this dream, it says, do not be afraid. I mean, when you read about Paul, he's not like an afraid guy. Like when you read about Paul, like I don't know if I've ever seen where Paul bunkered down and being afraid, but he must have been. He must have been frustrated. He must have been afraid. He must have been like, I just want to give up. I'm sick of it. And God says, do not be afraid. Because when we're afraid, that's the first thing. Do not. Jeff, do not be afraid. Okay. Church, people and everyone, do not be afraid. Because if we're afraid, what happens? You see it with people. Do you see people ever go through like a post-traumatic stress? Like right afterwards, they can't even speak sometimes, can they? Because the terror, this spirit of fear, this being afraid comes upon them and they can't even talk. And they're stuck there and they sit there. And being afraid does that same thing. For us, if we let our fear and to be afraid stop us. Proverbs. Well, let's start here. Isaiah 41:10. I'm going to jump over there. I'm going to throw these out and you can write them down if you'd like. Talking about being afraid. Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. How many times do we really believe that? All through scripture, we see the greatness, the power of God. And so many times we worry and we worry and we step back and we don't take these promises and we're afraid. I mean, it happens. Like we're human, so it happens, but it happens like a lot. So Isaiah 41:10, Deuteronomy 31:8. Says this, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. How many times are we discouraged? We get discouraged as humans, as people. We get discouraged and we wonder why these things are happening. We get discouraged. But this is going back to the beginning of scripture, the beginning of when in the Old Testament, right? When we talk about the beginning of time. And even there it says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. First, I'll jump over to Timothy. 2 Timothy heard me say this a lot. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or fear or being afraid, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. So right out of the gate, number one, God tells Paul, do not be afraid. Do not let your fear stop you now, Paul. You're pushing. Do not be afraid. And Paul needed that extra bit of encouragement not to be afraid. He was frustrated. We all get like that. And then God tells him, he says, do not stop speaking. Why? Why? Well, number one, if you're afraid, right? If you're going to shut down because you're out of fear, you're not going to speak. You're going to be afraid. You're going to cower down. You're a little timid guy. Like that little guy. And you don't say anything. God says, do not stop speaking. All right, what's speaking do? Proverbs. Proverbs 21. I'm sorry, Proverbs 18, 21. We're going to jump through a couple of these things in Proverbs. Because if we're afraid, I thought this description about being afraid and how it shuts you down, it's called selective mutism. Did you ever hear that? Selective mutism. It's like you're selective on what you're saying. And it's like a term, selective mutism. So if you a lot of times are afraid, you have this selective mutism and you're too afraid to say anything. Do not stop speaking. Do not stop speaking. Proverbs 18:21. This is important for us to remember for all of us today. The tongue has the power of life and death. And those who love it will eat its fruit. When we speak, did you hear that? The tongue has the power of life and death. What we speak into people. And God's telling Paul, afraid, and you're not any longer. It's going to shut you down. You're going to have selective mutism, and you're going to stop speaking. You can't have that, Paul. You can't. Because when you speak, these things take place. When we speak the truth, the tongue has the power. The speech has the power of life and death. For those who love it will eat its fruits. Proverbs 16:21. We're going to jump through 16:21, 23, and 24. These words of wisdom about our speaking. 16, Proverbs 16, 21, 23, and 24. Verse 21. The wise in heart are called discerning, and pleasant words, speaking, right? Speaking, pleasant words, promote instruction. When we speak, we have a flow of life coming out of us if we choose our words correctly, because the tongue has the power for that. Scripture tells us that. The wise in heart are called discerning, and pleasant words, not discouraging words, not words of hatred, not words of, I don't know, what's another word, you idiot type of words. Like, no, not that type of stuff, but these positive, encouraging words are a life to people. That's why God tells Paul, do not stop speaking. Verse 23. A wise man's heart guides his mouth, and his lips promote instruction. Verse 24. Pleasant words. Who likes honey? Does anyone like, people like honey, right? Okay. Right. So would you rather have honey or a shot of apple cider vinegar? Who would rather have honey? Raise your hand. Okay. Who would rather have apple cider vinegar? We're not mixing. Half and half. What do they call that? Who's that golfer? What's that half and half? That Arnold Palmer, where it's like you have that mix of iced tea and lemonade, right? Except if you go to the hard stuff. You don't. I told you about that story before, right? Where I didn't know, like, Mike's hard lemonade. Like, I just thought it was lemonade. I didn't know it was hard lemonade. So we're at this golf outing, you know, that this guy knew I didn't drink, and we're out golfing, and we're going down some hole, and he's like, the guy comes up, and it's real hot. This is years ago. He said, hey, what do you have to drink? So what do you got? He said, oh, yeah, Coke, Pepsi, Bud Light, this and that, and Mike's lemonade. I was like, oh, dude, give me a Mike's lemonade. And then I drink it. I'm like, we're driving. I'm telling the guy, man, I think there's alcohol in here. He goes, duh, Jeff. He said, hard lemonade. I'm like, oh, okay. Anyway, so not to jump down that track. 24, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Healing to our bones. Don't stop. Do not be afraid, Paul. Do not be afraid, Jeff, because when you speak the truth of Scripture, it does these things into someone's life, into my own life, to encourage, to help people see the gospel clearly, to tell people of what Scripture means and how God wants us to live isn't like a prison or a trap. It's to promote a health into somebody and to promote a wisdom into somebody of who God is. So don't be afraid and don't stop speaking. Don't be silent. And we'll just hit one more in Ephesians. Let me just go here quick. Ephesians 4. I thought I had it marked. Well, I won't go there. But Ephesians 4, 15. What are we supposed to do? I know the verse. It says we're supposed to continue to speak the truth in love. Right? Don't stop speaking. Ephesians 4, 15 tells us that we're, New Testament verse, that we're supposed to continue to speak the truth, not out of hate, not out of discouragement, not to condemn people unless, you know, that's what we're called to do. Sometimes we're called to have people to repent, right? And that's a truth of Scripture. Repentance, sometimes we're called as you need to repent. Repent, which we talked about before, means what? Means change. Change your lifestyle. That's what repent means. We're not judging you. We're not condemning you, but we're saying Jesus loves you. He wants you to repent and change your way from whatever you're doing here and see what Christ provides and see what Scripture promises God has for you. Come to Christ, right? Come to Jesus Christ as your Savior. Okay, that's Ephesians 4. Speak the truth in love. And then finally, do not be silent. If we're afraid, and if we're not speaking, just like Paul, God told Paul, do not be afraid, don't stop speaking, and certainly not do not remain or do not be silent. Silent. Sometimes maybe we're not afraid. Sometimes maybe we're not speaking. And sometimes we remain silent, right? Jen was in New York City, the girls who were up in New York. And she said she went on the train and the lady came on. And she stood up in the middle of the subway. I don't know if she said this or not, but if she did, I apologize. This lady stands up in the middle of the subway and she said, I'm not here to ask for money. And then in this gospel presentation right there on the subway. Just a lady who is loving the Lord, who is loving salvation, who loves Jesus, who loves her human beings that are on the same train that says, came out and said, Jesus loves you, he died for you. He wants you to repent and come to him. You know, he wants you to have salvation. Right? That's what she gave the gospel presentation. Was she afraid? Maybe, but it didn't stop her. If she was afraid, she kept speaking and she wasn't silent. Because Romans 10:14 says this. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? How can people hear? How can people hear? The people on a subway aren't going to hear just by being on the subway. They might have music coming through, but what's going to, you know, they're going to hear everything that the world wants to continue to promote and push down people's throats and hear this, and hear this. This is all I want you to hear. Get on an elevator, hear elevator music, or buy this. Hey, buy some Coca-Cola, buy Pepsi, buy Bart's Root Beer. I love Bart's Root Beer, but, buy this. They don't hear anything about the gospel. How are they going to hear? God had a vision for Paul. Paul hears God speak in his vision, and it calls out these three things. Do not be afraid, Paul. I think he's telling us the same thing. John, do not be afraid. That's one. He's telling us that. Roy, don't be afraid. How many times do you get afraid? Do not be afraid. Number one. Number two is keep on speaking. Even if we're afraid, even if we're kind of getting afraid and we get the gumption to stand up, it's happened to Moses, didn't it? Moses, when he was speaking with God, God said, Moses, you have to speak to these people to get people out of Egypt. And what does Moses do? So here's Moses. And think about it. So Moses is in front of this burning bush that's not being consumed. He's watching this miracle take place. And this fire is burning, and as he's talking with God over the course of as his relationship goes with God, God says, this is what I have for you. And he's like, oh, God, I can't speak. I have a bad tongue. I can't talk. And he's like, come on, dude. Then I'm going to send your brother-in-law with him because you're going to do this. We can't stop speaking, right? We have to remain speaking. I think God's telling us, do not be afraid. Don't stop speaking, and certainly not, do not be silent. When we see things that need biblical instruction out of love, that we are to instruct. We're to take the words of Scripture. We just read these verses out of Proverbs, and this is what so many times we forget. Our mouth has what? It's a honeycomb. It's not bitter apple cider vinegar. It's a honeycomb. The words of Scripture, even though they get ground into society sometimes, like glass in your skin, right? It just kind of grinds in there, but it's a honeycomb. The biblical instruction that we need to continue to tell people is a honeycomb of power and of love and to people. So they get know who Jesus Christ is, right? That's what it's about. As we get into this coming year, I'm going to start looking at, I thought about it, I talked about this before, I heard this preacher preach on this, and it was incredible, right? And so I'm going to steal some of his ideas. But the language of God, the language of God, we're going to start looking at in January as we kind of unfold a vision that some forward movement, like this pig snout, right? Some forward movement. But the language of God isn't like banging the gong of prayer, repeatedly prayer. It's not that, right? Because Scripture tells us that. But the language of God is what we see when he works, when he confronts people, when he's walking with people, when he has visions with people. It's a vision. It's a language of faith. How much faith do we have? Like, that's the language that God hears, because that's the faith. Our relationship is with Jesus is all about faith. Have I ever seen Jesus walking down this? Was Jesus out there? Honestly, not being sacrilegious. When we were shoveling out here, was Jesus there? He wasn't out there with a shovel, was he? He was from spirit, but we have, and he's within us. But was he out there? Have I ever seen with my two eyes Jesus Christ walking across my parking lot? No. But I'll tell you what, I have faith that he was who he says he was. I have faith that he's my savior. I have faith that he died on the cross. I have faith that I am going to heaven from his blood sacrificed for me, taking away my sin. Right? That's so this language of faith that God wants to communicate with us. I want to get that power of that faith within us stirred up, right? That's where we're going in January. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, Lord. We thank you for how you work in people's hearts, Lord. I thank you for the leadership of Paul that we can read out of your word. That he wasn't, even when he was frustrated, I'm sure he was afraid. Because you gave him these instructions. Don't be afraid, Lord. Help us not to be afraid. Did he want to stop speaking? I guess that he maybe wanted to stop speaking sometimes, but he didn't. Lord, help us to have that same mentality of not to stop speaking. And help us to speak and not be silent. And not out of judgment or out of anything else, but out of love for a lost people, that we want to see people come to you, and help us to use our words, our speech, that's like the honeycomb, Lord. Your scripture tells us that. Your word tells us that. Help us to live and put those words in our mouth, that we can be a spring of love, of health, a positive influence for someone to turn their life and repent to come to you, Lord. Help us to promote your gospel correctly. Thank you for this church, Lord. I thank you for all the people that were out shoveling. Thank you for Tom and John who were out there yesterday shoveling. We just thank you for that we could be together here, Lord. Help us to serve you well. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, there might be some more coffee and donuts. At the last time I looked to get a little snack, I don't think that anything ever Bob ate at all. So I'm not sure what happened. So it's been replenished. So Karen replenished it. Why am I shocked? Karen sees she's on it, right? She's on it. So and you're gonna stop and get coffee all the time you're here? Yeah.